Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Jeff Copper. This is Attention Talk Radio. Today is July the 20th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My, how time flies. Our topic today, ADHD homeschool or high school, that is the question. And with us in our virtual studio is Carol Barnier. I have to tell all our listeners, I've been anxious to do this show for some period of time. This the concept for the show actually came to me getting out of the shower one day, and it took me a little while to find the right person, but I think you'll agree at the end of the show that Carol has got a lot of insights, and we're going to learn a lot in discussing homeschooling or high school and your ADHD child with her. But before we get into some things, I want to, and forgive me, I need to read this to you, but ADA, the ADHD Association, and Chad are actually making a call for the public out here. And again, forgive me, but I'm going to read this. The inclusion of ADHD as a disabling condition in the supplemental security income, that's SSI program, under Social Security is in jeopardy. Chad needs your help to identify families who have used SSI payments to cover expenses related to their child's ADHD and would be willing to come to Washington to talk to congressional staff about the importance of the program. Chad will pay for your travel expenses and will help to prepare the parents for these meetings. If you know any families who have received SSI for their children with ADHD, please share this information with them and ask them if they would help to save this critical program. To contact Chad, basically the best way to do is either email the CEO, that's Ruth Hughes, and that her email address is ruth_hughes@chadd.org, or you can call 301-306-7070 extension 133. So, again, if I want to kind of help promote that, get the word on the street, because they're really kind of fighting to kind of pull that stuff together. So if you know anybody, please pass that on. A reminder, mark your calendars. The Chad Conference is taking place in Orlando this November 10th through the 12th. Go to chadd.org for more information on that. Also, Time Timer has been one of our sponsors for a period of time, and I want to remind everyone out there that the Time Timer app for the iPad is out and ready to go. You can basically go to go on the App Store and download it right now. I've used it in the past. I would be using it right now for this show, only I left it in Daytona at a presentation this morning and have to have it at Federal Express. So anyway, I just want to kind of update everybody with that. So time's wasting. Let's get on to the topic of the day. Again, with us in our virtual studio is Carol Barnier. Carol is a homeschooling mom of many years who speaks coast-to-coast at homeschool conferences and is a frequent radio show guest. She began Open Gifts Ministries when her son, a nonstop, constantly moving ball of energy, didn't fit the mold that worked so well in a traditional classroom. When she first began homeschooling her child, she researched everywhere for tips on how to teach her highly distractible child and found volumes of information on how to recognize, manage, medicate, and discipline the ADHD child, but practically nothing on how to teach that child math or reading. So this is going to be an exciting show, everyone. After several difficult months, she stopped thinking in terms of what worked for most children and began to learn what worked for her child. Again, for those loyal listeners, I love this. It's not about what works for everybody. It's what works for you. Over the years, she's developed teaching tips and strategies in their homeschool that clearly made a difference, especially in reading math. Carol's creative can-do strategies with this child led to a book entitled How to Get Your Child Off the Refrigerator and Onto Learning, which, by the way, I love that title. When she admitted her own ever-increasing distractibility, she had to develop survival strategies in order to keep herself on track. That resulted in a funny, practical book entitled If I'm Diapering a Watermelon, Then Where Did I Leave the Baby? Her third book, The Big What Now Book of Learning Styles, offers dozens of ways to teach individual subjects such as math, science, writing, and geography from several different learning styles. She understands the unique challenges of raising a highly distractible child, sharing one's life with a high-energy, distractible mate and being distractible, nonlinear thinker in a linear world. So with all that, Carol, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here. I got to tell you, we have used the time timer for years in our house, so I'm glad to hear you talking about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. You know, we did a show back, I think, in April with the founder talking about the development of it. And it's funny, now that I'm thinking about it, she was having difficulty with her child and time management, and she sat down and she developed really this wheel as a way to help her child manage time the way she does, which is kind of like what you're doing. And you're sitting down and homeschooling your children because they're not of the norm and they learn a little bit differently. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, and being a little distractible myself, I'm using the time timer when I'm speaking around the country, because if you don't give me some kind of cue that I need to shut up, I'll just talk for hours. It's a good one.
I can do that myself for hours. So, Carol, just to kind of jump into things, can you just kind of just at a high level outline some of the advantages? Some of our listeners, I'm hopeful, are moms or dads that are thinking about doing this. So, can you speak to the advantages of homeschooling an ADHD child?
Yeah, and there's just so many. One of the first ones that pops into my mind when you ask that is when a typical distractible child is in a traditional classroom, if through no fault of the teachers, my child, they're going to have their name called out much more frequently in correction than the other children. They just are. I mean, and I know that from having homeschooled my own child for, you know, all these years, that I have to call out his name frequently. But when he's in a room with 20 other kids, you got to call out his name 10 times more often than other kids. So one of the benefits of homeschooling is he doesn't hear his name called out in correction so much, because you can only handle so much of that before you start thinking, why is it always my name that's called out? You know, what is it about me? Is there something wrong with me? And eventually they think there's a problem with themselves. So that's one of the clearest benefits, is that your child has a sense of being normal. But another thing about homeschooling is you can limit the distractions, not only just by virtue of the fact that there are 20 less children in the room. You know, you have your one child or how many that you're homeschooling at one time. But you can also set about limiting the distractions that are physically going on around them. You can have things that physically block them, or you can have earbuds in their ears, or you know, things that make a difference, setting them off in a quiet corner, and whatever works for the child. But if they're surrounded by 20 kids, they're going to be distracted. It's not because there's something wrong with them. It's just that they have all this bandwidth. They take in so much, and they can't filter it and just set everything aside and focus on one thing. And you can limit the bandwidth at home. There's just a million things you can do. But the third, probably the most useful thing I figured out in homeschooling my own child, was that they needed to move. And that's something you can do really easily at home. And you can't do that in a room with other, you know, 20 other kids, because you'll distract all of them.
That's a really, really good point. The ability to move.
That changed our world. It took me 6 months to figure it out, because the first 6 months, of course, I just went home and emulated the traditional school model that I knew, you know, the one I'd grown up with. And frankly, which was really silly, it's the very model I took him out of, because it had failed him. But nonetheless, that's what I went home and did. I mean, that's something all of us homeschooling moms tend to do first time out of the box. But it took me 6 months to realize this was not working, and I've got to just do something else. Once I figured out this kid has to move to process information, it changed our world. Because we're taught the opposite. We're taught if you really want a kid to pay attention, get him to sit still, look you in the eye and not move, you know, have their hands still. And my son would implode if you asked him to learn like that.
Wow, that's fascinating. You know, I think it was a couple years ago, they had Matt Moran, who's a professional wrestler, talking at a CHAD conference, and he was talking about his ADHD and how he struggled, but one teacher would allow him to go out and shoot baskets almost between answers, and all that movement kind of come in. And we also had Diane Ladd, another coach that works particularly with children, and she calls them fidgets, these things for them to kind of play with while they're talking and stuff, because that movement allows them to kind of focus. And I'm hearing, you know, that the non-traditional classroom, you're allowing the kids to get up and kind of move, because sometimes that movement actually allows the kid to filter the stuff and actually pay attention to what's going on. That's really exciting.
Well, and I'll go beyond just being, you know, kind of passive and allowing them to move. I actually purposefully put motion into their lessons.
Really? So, how do you do that?
Well, you know, here's a real simple one. Let's say they're struggling with math, and what should take 20 minutes can take 3 hours. I mean, every parent who's listening has either dealt with this, you know, in homework or heard about it at school. So instead of having him sit there and painstakingly scribbling out the answers, I will take the answers, write them out on 3x5 cards, and throw them around on the floor. So now when I say, what's 3 times 7, he has to run and grab the number 21 or jump on the answer or something like that. If we're studying factors in multiplication, I may say 15. Now he's got to jump on 3x5 cards that maybe 3 and 5 that multiplied together would equal 15. So I'm always looking for ways to actually put motion into the learning exercise, and there's just a bazillion ways of doing that.
Well, there is. There's a bazillion ways to do that once you start to pay attention that that's what they need and do that, although it's probably hard to think about it if you've never thought about it before.
In the beginning, that's true, because, I mean, it's such a different mindset. You know, we're so busy thinking if they're moving, they're being disrespectful. They're not they're not focusing. And to be fair, for an awful lot of us, motion is something that we do when we want to get away from some input. I mean, if I'm talking to someone and they're really kind of driving me crazy, I'm going to start fidgeting, and I'm going to, you know, yawn and stretch and tap my foot, because movement is something I do to get away from some input. But for an awful lot of kids, my son and my other daughter included, motion and movement is how they process information. And once I got a hold of that, I realized not only were they not being disrespectful, they were really trying hard to be respectful. They were trying to process what I was giving to them. And I was so busy saying stand still, and they're trying so hard to listen, but they had to move to do it.
The one thing on the show over the years that I've tried to reiterate, what's obvious is a function of what you're paying attention to. And if you're paying attention to them having to sit still and that's what they're supposed to do, you can't think about these other solutions. Whereas if you take a look at ADHD child and movement's a part of it, as soon as you start to recognize this, I love the idea of what you're doing, throwing the cards on the floor, because there's a gazillion different ways to incorporate it. But you have to start to think of that mindset in order to kind of come up with those things to be creative to engage the children, which is – I mean, I can definitely see how this leads to the advantages of homeschooling, because you wouldn't be able to do that in a school environment.
Right. And I will say, to be fair to the schools, they are kind of, you know, wrapping their hands around this notion that these kids need to move. So some of the things that you can do in a school that I've seen that have worked well is they use those great big exercise balls, and they give the kids those to sit on instead of a chair. And that makes sense, because this kid's going to wiggle all the time anyway. So at least on the exercise ball, it's quiet. You know, if you put him in a regular chair, what you hear all day is, it drives you crazy. Another class I heard of, a teacher gave this child 2 desks. So when he felt the need to get up and move, he had a legitimate place to go, and he wasn't getting into trouble. So there are things that you can do, but there are just so many more things that you can do at home.
That's brilliant. 2 desks.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's like, duh.
Yeah. Well, I remember hearing about, I think it was Donald Rumsfeld that I heard about. When he worked in the White House, he had a desk, but he had it built like 18 inches higher than the typical desk because he never sat down. So he would walk around and work around his desk all day long. And some schools are doing that, too, where they'll give a kid a desk, but they have no chair because he won't sit in it anyway.
I've coached some people before, that like adolescents in college and stuff like that, where basically it was like, can we elevate the desk so that you can stand and walk around and not just necessarily sit at it? This is promotion. So I tell you what, Carol, I need to run to a commercial break. But before we do, for our listeners out there that want to get in contact with you or want to like purchase a book, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is just by virtue of my name, carol@carolbarnier.com or www.carolbarnier.com. But if they want to go to my site that is specifically for people who have distractible kids in their home and they want some tips on how to work with them, then you want to go to sizzlebop.com.
Sizzlebop.
Sizzle, like bacon frying in the pan, sizzle. And bop is the dance of life that goes on around these kids that like
So that's sizzlebop.com?
BOP.com, that's right.
All right. So everybody, with that, we'll be right back after this break.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at SusanMcIntosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at AttentionRadio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Carol Barnier in our virtual studio, and we're talking about homeschool or high school. That is the question, and we are moving forward in the show, and I already feel that we've got to do a sequel for this real soon because we have a lot of material to cover in a short period of time. So, Carol, this has been great so far. Let me ask you a question. We've talked about some of the advantages of homeschooling an ADHD child. What are some of the disadvantages?
Well, the first thing people are always going to ask you about is socialization, and I know there are a lot of homeschoolers who kind of scoff at that. I think that for an ADHD kid, they tend to miss a lot of social cues anyway. So it's a legitimate question. But I also think one of the nicest things that I was able to do was I was able to find other moms and other kids who were like my own, who understood, who got us, and we would make an effort to kind of homeschool together and to share sometimes together. So there were other kids who would understand and get my son, and that was valuable. That was just something that, you know, made a big difference for him, having a sense of not being such an oddball, which he might have felt, I think, in a traditional schoolroom. The other thing is, everything's up to you. I mean, it's a huge task. I don't know if I knew how big a task it was when I started, but it's a huge task. And every year I had to look at curriculum and make a choice and decide what his strengths were and what we needed to reinforce and so on. And if it doesn't work, that falls on me too. So, you know, it is a big thing. But fortunately, you know, 30 years ago, it was perhaps a little more daunting, but now there are so many people homeschooling. Something like 2 million kids are being homeschooled right now. There are so many support groups, so many conferences. I mean, one of the conferences I speak at in Ohio has 25,000 attendees. I mean, it's a huge...
That's phenomenal.
It's a huge movement. So there's so much support. No matter how you want to do it, you'll find someone to help you with the way you want to approach it.
That just blows me away. 25,000 attendees at a homeschooling conference in Cincinnati. That's just there's all kinds of conferences for like ADHD, dyslexia, learning disabilities, and stuff like that. But homeschooling, it just blows me away. That's absolutely huge. I mean, that's an auditorium. That's actually the basketball arena to get everybody for like a keynote speaker.
Yeah, it's pretty massive. I think when I first began homeschooling, I thought it was such a fringe movement. I wasn't sure I wanted to homeschool because I thought all homeschoolers lived in Idaho and raised goats and had 26 children. And, you know, just, I wasn't sure I was cut out to be a homeschooler. But the first conference I went to, I came away with two things. One is there's somebody here like me. There's so many different types of people. And two is this is a big movement.
Mm-hmm.
Not as fringe as I thought.
Wow. Well, you know, when I was reading your bio, it jumped out. What I really liked about it is you found all kinds of information on how to manage, medicate, discipline children with ADHD, but nothing practical on how to teach them math and reading. And I'm acknowledging that right now because that's I'd really like to kind of get into that, but we're limited in time. So again, Carol, I might be calling you in about an hour. It's like planning a sequel for this, but I just want to acknowledge that to listeners. That's kind of the big deal, and Carol's a great maybe resource to contact for that. But moving on, I do need to ask you some questions. What are some of the lessons that you learned in this process of starting and kind of assembling this information that you could share with those that are interested in possibly homeschooling, that you can give them some insights and things to think about in like the areas where you can get in trouble?
Well, it's funny that I recently did a talk called Homeschooling 101, and when I list together all the things you need to do to have your ducks in a row, it occurred to me as soon as I put that list together that when I began homeschooling, I had done absolutely none of those. So the truth is, one of the nicest things about homeschooling, it is the most forgiving and efficient educational model out there. It just is, because you are dealing with this child one-on-one. You notice right away when something isn't working. Now, that may be different when you have a child in the public school system. You know, you may not know about it until a grade card comes along, and by then they've been learning a process in math, and they didn't quite get it right, and now they've built on that misunderstanding, and 5 weeks down, now you got to go back, and you know. And because homeschooling, you catch it the moment it happens because you are right there in the process and seeing it happen. And that is just an amazing benefit to the process, what you're doing here.
Wow. You know, actually, it's interesting because I'll never forget, when I was a junior in high school, of course, I had learning disability and dyslexia and stuff like that, but I got mono for a couple weeks, and they sent a tutor home to me to deal with me in that period of time. And it's funny because I only spent, I don't know, 2.5 hours a day with a person 4 days a week, and all my grades went up a letter grade.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it was funny because there was an efficiency to it.
That one-on-one model is so efficient.
And I literally remember it, and it was amazing because my parents were like in awe, like, okay, well, she had mono again if you can raise all your grades a letter grade.
Yeah, well, and I think that the studies that have come out say that something like, I don't know, 40% of a traditional public school day is off task time. You know, it's like of the time is spent on gathering slips and going between classes and making sure your boots are under your coat and your mittens are in your pocket and, you know, all these various things. And it's just stuff that it's eliminated from the day of a homeschooler.
Wow. Well, Carol, I warned you before the show, time is flying here. We got to get ready to go to another break. When we come back, I want to talk about a little bit of the challenges you face as somebody just trying to having to manage all this stuff, because many of those that might be wanting to homeschool their child very possibly have ADHD themselves and have to deal with that. But again, before we go to break, if somebody wants to contact you, the best way to do that would be to reach you at
sizzlebop.com.
Sizzlebot.com. With that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Carol Barnier. We're having a great conversation about homeschool or high school. Carol, there's so much to cover, but we got about 6 minutes left. Can you talk to the challenges that you face trying because you're the teacher, the principal, and all that stuff, and organizing the stuff together in a homeschool environment, dealing with an ADHD kid, and can you do it from the perspective of a parent who might have ADHD kid, might have ADHD themselves?
Yeah, I really understand their fears and concerns, because I know how easy it is for the day to get away from them. And I mean, I've often said that, you know, I may have a child who asks me for a drink, and I'm happy to go get them a drink, and I get up to go get it, but I see a paperclip on the floor, and then I, you know, set it down by the dishwasher, which hasn't been emptied, and yada, yada, yada. And so the whole day can get away from me. And, in fact, I'm even convinced that my children have played that button by saying, Mom, you know, look outside, there's a butterfly, and it's like, oh, school's over, out we go. So I understand those concerns. But what I will say is that, you know, you borrow organizational things. You certainly can find ways to organize your world. I actually ended up, the second book I wrote was because I finally discovered that there were strategies that worked with a mind like mine. But the theme of my strategies is learn to store needed information somewhere other than your brain, because that's the least reliable place you have. And once you own that and you work with that, it changed everything, and I was able to get organized. But let me tell you the positive thing that I believe an ADHD teacher brings to the table.
Yeah.
And that is, my kids don't always know what we're going to be learning next month, but they know I'm going to be excited about it because I am willing to follow what delights me. And so my kids have, in our homeschooling, and I've graduated two kids from high school. You need to know I've been doing this about 17 years.
Yep.
My kids believe learning is fun because most of the time it is. I just something that delights us, and we will take off and study that. I will set things aside, and we will follow that until we exhaust the delight factor in it. And then I'll go back to the lesson plan, and I know we eventually get it all done, but I'm willing to follow the things that delights us. And I think that's something that the distractible mom brings to the table that the traditional, regular, linear-thinking mom never does.
That's so much, at least in my coaching practice, so much of the focus is really on what interests you and following that and trying to find a way to make that work for those particular people. What I'm hearing you saying is that, hey, we find something that's fun, we're going to delve into it and go crazy about it because it's exciting, it stimulates the brain. So why not doing that and bring it back around? But there's a focus on learning, but why not go with it? Whereas in a traditional classroom, you can't necessarily do that.
Yeah, you absolutely can't do that because, you know, not every kid may be interested in making a trebuchet that shoots potatoes into the woods or whatever. You know, you got to work with the whole classroom. But with a single child or with the children you have at home, you can follow their individual delight. And that's where you find their strengths that lead to their passions that lead to, you know, what they do for the rest of their lives.
Which is all it's about. And it's funny because I just was talking to Jody Sleeper Triplett. She's going to be coming on the show at the end of August, and the topic is going to be motivation. And I was listening to her talk about this sometime, and she said, you know, nobody's ever learned something that they weren't motivated to learn. So it's really kind of all about motivation and interest, and it really kind of dives into really what you're talking about because you got to tap into that. And so much of ADHD coaches is focused on what a person's passionate about and really what's interesting them. And it sounds great in the homeschool environment if teacher, mom, in this case, and child are excited about something, you can just go with it and milk it for all it's worth. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, and it teaches them the wonderful lesson that learning's supposed to be fun. Remember when we're supposed to believe that? It really can be.
Absolutely. We've got about 2.5 minutes left, so I'm kind of running. I got 6 dozen questions to ask you, but one of the things I, in about a minute, for those that are thinking about doing this, to me, one of the daunting tasks is the curriculum. Can you give me advice or any insight on where a parent might go to begin this process?
You know, there are about 7 major philosophies on homeschooling. There's probably 85 altogether, but there are 7 that kind of have risen to the forefront as being the mainstream different approaches to homeschooling. And there is a curriculum system and support material for each one of those philosophies. So I guess the one thing I would want to consider doing is to go to one of those homeschool conferences because you will see the various philosophies there. You will see the materials. You can put your hand on it. I would also suggest, though, connecting up with a support group in your area. There are support groups in every state, and you can start asking people, what do you use? What do you like? And I will also tell you one of the things you might want to look for is, I hate to promote a particular catalog, but Rainbow Resource, these people have the biggest catalog of homeschooling material on the planet. I mean, when this thing comes, your mailbox will lean to the side. Because their catalog is like 3 inches thick, but they carry everything, and it does give you kind of a description of the product. So you'll spend a lot of time in it, but it will definitely give you a good overview of what's going on. With a child who's highly distractible, though, you really need to think about stuff that gives you the freedom to get them up and moving. So I tend to like unit studies where you can take something that the child's really interested in and build the lessons around that.
Sure. Well, Carol, I got to tell you something. It's been an absolute thrill having you on the show. I've been excited about this for as long as we've been talking about it. So thank you very much for coming on the show. For the time we've got left for our listeners out there, because, I mean, if you're listening to this, you got to contact Carol and or read her books. So, again, the best place to contact you is at SizzleBop, right?
SizzleBop.com. That's a great place. Yep.
SizzleBop.com. So, again, Carol, thank you very much. And, everyone, stay tuned to another edition of Attention Talk Radio next week. Take care.